Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we're examining every single goddamn page of Alien Hunger, a quick start adventure for Vampire the Masquerade, to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is 1991's Alien Hunger, the official PDF release from White Wolf. Today we're discussing page 65 of Alien Hunger. This is the final interior page of the book. After this, all we have is the back cover. And this, as I mentioned way at the beginning of the book, weeks ago, is the map. The map of Denver. Now, you can use maps in a role-playing game for a lot of different things. I mentioned back when we were in the contents, which does not mention this map, you might use it, for example, in a vampire game to determine where the characters are relative to where they need to be, so you can figure out if they can get there before the sun comes up, or before their enemies get there, or whether you can outrun pursuers long enough to get to a place where you're safe from them, or if you're really hustling to accomplish something in a single night, you can look at the drive times around town. And a lot of organic situations are going to come up in any game you play, in whatever location, where that kind of stuff is relevant. When you've got a group of player characters who burn in the sun, from time to time, schedule shenanigans will become fatal or near fatal, and you're going to need a map of the city. But that's all organic stuff that's going to develop in the session based on what the players actually do at the table. When it comes to what's actually plotted, planned, and presented in this book, there's very little of the kind of material that would cause you to need this kind of map, which is not to say there shouldn't be a map. There should be a map. I'm glad this map is here. In fact, this map's presence really points out a problem with the story in this book, which is a serious lack of compelling set pieces and engagement with your setting. Now, I understand it's Denver. Here's the thing. I felt a little bad over the course of the season about shit-talking Denver quite so much. I mean, I think it is now, like, last I checked, like the 19th largest city in the United States, so it's a relatively big city. And whenever I would go back and, you know, edit, listen to the episodes of the show, I would think, I'm portraying this as though Denver is this kind of like urban Mayberry surrounded by cows where nothing dramatic ever really happens and there are really no kind of problems. And obviously that's not the case. But in an effort to look into Denver for the rest of this book and for future stuff that I'm doing, I did go try to explore more about Denver. I did check it out on like Atlas Obscura. I did go to the Denver subreddit. And Denver, Colorado, despite being in the top 20 cities in the United States, the subreddit is shit like, hey, I lost a ring. Hey, can anybody tell me where to throw out paint? There is, and I could not possibly make up something this egregious. There is a thread of like, where are fun places to go? And specifically, where's like off the beaten track, like shit the locals know about in Denver? It's a person on Reddit asking, like, where's the weird stuff in Denver? And it truly is nothing. Like, there are restaurants. There are businesses that have a lot of taxidermy. People do burlesque from time to time in Denver. But one of the answers, I swear to God, was the view from a Safeway parking lot of the mountains. So I have maybe been unkind to Denver, but it's a real easy fucking target. However, this is a vampire game. We're allowed to goth punk things up. And, you know, we're trying to engage the city. Like, the city is a big part of vampire stories. So I want to take a minute to look at what locations are on this map and think about what kind of grade we would give the author on a couple of different categories here. Number one, how much did the author engage the locations that are actually on this map? Number two, are there major locations we would want to use that don't appear in this map and aren't used in the story at all? And number three, of the locations that we did engage in a meaningful way, places where we really did some kind of set piece, how distinctive are they to Denver? How much do we get the flavor of Denver, such as it is, from these set pieces? So first, let me tell you what's on this map. We got an outline that gives us Denver proper, and we also see the locations of Boulder, Aurora, and Golden relative to Denver. Remember that Golden is where Edward's house is, and that is labeled here. All the highways are labeled and mapped so we can see, you know, for basic transportation purposes, how to get around in, and perhaps more interestingly, how to get through Denver. And then the actual locations identified on the map are Prester's house, where there is a scene, one scene, then it burns down. The United National Bank of Denver, where we may go to get that safety deposit box. The Broad Street, of course. Mile High Stadium, which I don't remember if it gets a mention at all in this book, but if it does, it's minimal. The Capitol, same. Stapleton International Airport, which we definitely didn't hear anything about. Lowry Air Force Base, same thing. The 24th Diocese, the Goth Club. Cherry Hills, where Emerson lives. Emerson's house is noted as being there on the map, the Colorado University Medical Center, and Liverman's House. They say Liverman's House. We know it as the lair of Science Jaguar. So first of all, how much did the author engage these locations? There are 11 locations, including Edwards House, which is technically outside of Denver, but just outside. We'll count it. Of these 11 locations, four are not used at all. The stadium, airport, Air Force Base, Colorado University Medical Center, nothing done with them whatsoever. If they're mentioned, it's so passingly that I've forgotten it. They certainly have nothing to do with the plot, and there are no scenes there. Emerson's house never really gets any detail. There are no specific scenes that are set there. It's just where he happens to live. I think the assumption is that because he's the richest of the pregens, that his house might be the base of operations for the group, and so we kind of need to know where it is. But it would have been nice to know something about like the layout of the place, how ostentatious it is, whatever defenses it might have, what kind of resources are there in the house. You know, you could have had an attack on Emerson's house. That would have been interesting, but no, nothing really there. And there's no detail on the Cherry Hills neighborhood except to say that it's very nice. One more location, the bank, gets minor detail. Like, optionally, you can go there if you're looking into Prester's finances, and so you want to get his safety deposit box or look further in his accounts or whatever. There's a little discussion about the employees there, what kind of security there is. You could do a set piece there, and there's some material to help you. Sort of on the equal and opposite side of the seesaw, you've got the 24th Diocese, which you definitely do need to visit a couple of times, and there are scenes there, but there's really nothing specific at all about the 24th Diocese. Like, it is in an old church, and it's a goth club, but there's nothing about specifics, like layout or important NPCs. I mean, there's a bartender who Tony trusts, but that's all we know. We don't even know his name. It's just a bartender Tony trusts. And we know there's a blood doll named Candy, but we know nothing except that she's a blood doll and her name is Candy. And neither of them really have anything to do with us or to offer us. And then that leaves Edwards House, Prester's House, and Liverman's House, which are all places that get enough detail to be used as a setting, albeit one time only in Prester's case. I don't think there's particularly a good reason to go to Edwards House. The only reason we know about it is that we were warned not to go there, and there's really no reason to go there. But if we wanted to, we could. So on this list of 11 locations, I'd say there are like three that are solid places to put a scene, as compared to four that just are not in the adventure at all. And there's no material about how to use them. So I'm going to give the author a D on engaging the locations that are on the map. But let's talk about locations that aren't on the map and aren't described and you can't use, but you might want to. Number one, obviously, Fish Pants. The club, the obvious alternative for feeding and carousing to the Broad Street and the 24th Diocese. Mentioned in the fiction of the book even, where the fuck is Fish Pants? The planetarium, built up so much. This laser show, you've got to see this laser show. Of all the things that are almost exciting in Denver, none is as almost exciting as the laser show at the planetarium. But where the fuck is it on the map? Nowhere. Where are the scenes set at the planetarium? The tense fight at the planetarium? The seduction at the planetarium? The scene where you accidentally feed on somebody who is currently on shrooms and have a weird spiritual experience at the planetarium? None of it. Nowhere to be found. The cows. The many cows of Denver. All on the outskirts. I mean, we know it's 20 minutes to get there, but there's no representation of where they actually are in detail, what the layout of any of this might be, like location relative to the mountains, like what highway is it on? Where is it in relation to Boulder? Like, if I were hard up for blood such that I'm going to go feed on some cows, it might be getting towards sunrise. If Boulder is closer to the cow pastures than Denver proper is, then I might crash in Boulder. Speaking of which, no information about how to use Boulder at all, even though it's quite close, and there's a psychic fair there. You know Marcus is going to want to hit up the psychic fair, either for information or just to show off, now that he's got real psychic powers. No information about the Boulder psychic fair. I give the author an F, a straight up F. In this book, there are just a few locations that are emphasized enough that we might want to do a location-based scene there. We might want to do a thing at Fish Pants. We might want to do a thing out in the cow pastures on a country road out in the foothills. Or we might want to do a thing at the planetarium. Almost to a one, those locations are not supported or represented or used at all, and they're not even on this map. So if I want to take the initiative and come up with a scene at the planetarium, I don't even know where the fuck it is. Finally, of the locations actually used in this game, how many engage Denver specifically? Like, this is a book set in Denver for presumably some reason, although if we're going to hear about it, I guess it's going to have to be on the back cover, because I don't have an answer for you yet. But for some reason, this is set in Denver. Of the locations where things happen in this story, which of them are specific to or even specifically characteristic of Denver? Well, while there are no scenes at the Denver Airport or Air Force Base or University Medical Center or Mile High Stadium, there are scenes at a man's house, another man's house, yet another man's house, a bar, a club, and finally, a bank. So this is an F. I mean, I guess you could say, isn't this useful? Because this way you can set this adventure wherever you want. You can set it in your home city. You can set it at least somewhere close to where you want to run stuff. So like if you're going to use the Chicago material later, you can set it in a city that's closer to Chicago. But number one, we did spend 4 pages of this book on Denver specific material. That's not huge, but it's like 1/16th of the book devoted to Denver specifically. More importantly, if you wanted this book to be set in generic city, you should have done that instead of peppering it with Denver specific material that contributes very little but would have to be changed. For example, Emerson's got a big ranch outside town where he keeps all of his horses. Prince Edward moved to the city and then eventually became prince of the city, and like the involvement with the anarchs and all that, that all happens on a timeline that makes sense for the history of Denver, not for any given city. Even Thaddeus, the Nosferatu elder who off-screen set all of the events of the plot into motion because of his passion for bullying Louis Pasteur, he's noted to go to places where there are lots of cows. So while it would be relatively easy to set this somewhere other than Denver, if you had made the choice to make this city agnostic, there would have been a way to make this book actually readily usable for any given city. It would have freed up 4 pages that you could have used for material about adapting it to a particular city. So I don't accept the idea that it was a choice, or especially a good choice, to avoid using the distinctive locations and opportunities that Denver offers. I mean, we don't even get any scenes where you go out of the city into the mountains, the cow pastures. We get a mention of cow tipping, but it's just a thing you might do if you need blood. It's not a scene like going out and finding a fugitive vampire out there living off the cows, or having a tense encounter with the lupines where they don't want to get too close to the city, but you don't want to get too far out of the city because they'll attack you out there in the pastures and in the mountains. We don't get anything about the airport, the altitude. For a book that promised us goth punk Denver, we sure spent a lot of time in random people's houses and a bar and then one bank. Locations that could have been any place. So the dumbest thing on this page, the choice to focus the action of this book on the subset of locations on this map that have nothing specifically to do with Denver. That's it for the inside of this book. Now all we have is the back cover and we are done. Join me next time for that on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the patrons-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Social media was never healthy and is now dying, so if you want to contact me, you can email me. I am megadumbcast@gmail.com. This season's theme song is Suck City by Black Math, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org/music/black_math. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.